First this hour, though, Vice President Mike Pence will be visiting the Middle East later this week. The trip comes a month later than originally scheduled. The original one was delayed so Pence could stay in D.C. for the vote on the tax package. That visit is just one of the big stories on the international stage in the coming days. And joining me for our weekly look at them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, you'll be watching developments in the Rohingya Muslim crisis this week. What's happening there?
Well, Mark, officials from Myanmar and Bangladesh are meeting to discuss the repatriation of more than 850,000 Rohingya or Rohingya Muslims who fled Myanmar last year and have been living in refugee camps in Bangladesh. That was in response to a crackdown by the Burmese military. Now, a deal between the two countries was reached in November, but that deal never addressed how the repatriation would take place. Meanwhile, many of the refugees themselves say they don't want to go back. And they don't want to go back because during that crackdown by the Burmese military, more than 350 villages were burned down. That's along with stories of men being killed, women being raped, and so on. Now, the Rohingya say they'll only go back with some kind of international security guarantee. Now, that's going to be difficult, given the Burmese authorities' repeated refusal to allow independent international groups into Rakhine State. Now, the Rohingya were stripped of their citizenship in 1982, and many of the locals in Rakhine insist they don't want the Rohingya back. Our Southeast Asia correspondent, Jonathan Head, was one of the few journalists allowed into Rakhine State at the end of last year on a brief, heavily supervised visit. He says this repatriation is not going to be easy.
The hatred's real, and it's very deep, and it's problematic, and it is simply not going to be easy after this violence has got a lot worse. I mean, there's genuine fear among the local non-Muslim population of future violence because of what they've done. That has to be eased, and it will be a very difficult thing to do. And frankly, it makes any mass repatriation unviable for the foreseeable future.
Now, another reason this has appeared back in the headlines, disease. A serious problem in these refugee camps. Health officials in Bangladesh say there's been an outbreak of diphtheria with more than 4,000 reported cases. At least 30 children have died. So there's a massive vaccination and treatment program underway to try to prevent any further deaths. That's supported by international aid, including from the UK and the US. So this is a story we'll continue to watch, both in terms of that potential repatriation and the state of the thousands of people in those refugee camps.
Now, Rich, a little bit later this week on Wednesday, the parliament in Catalonia will reconvene following regional elections that happened this past December. What's the latest there?
Yes, Mark, this is the next phase in the Catalan crisis. It was back in October. You may remember that Catalonia held a referendum on whether or not the region should be independent from Spain. And as you may recall, that vote was declared illegal by Spain's central government and the regional parliament was dissolved. Madrid took control of Catalan affairs and then in December, as you say, regional elections to get that local parliament up and running. That new parliament meets on Wednesday and part of that meeting is to decide who's going to lead that government. Our Europe editor, Danny Eberhard, says it's very unclear who that's going to be.
Carles Puigdemont, who's the sacked former leader of Catalonia, is currently in self-imposed exile in Belgium. If he returns to Spain, he faces arrest. That is in an investigation into alleged rebellion and sedition. If he doesn't return in person and the parliament does select him, the Spanish government has said it will challenge that immediately in the Spanish courts.
And the leader of the other main separatist group, Oriol Junqueras, is in detention in the same investigation that Mr. Puigdemont faces for sedition and rebellion. So although these pro-independence groups won a majority in these elections in December and will be working to form a new government, they're without their key leaders. So very messy, very complicated. We'll see what happens on Wednesday.
Finally, Rich, let's go to the Middle East, where, of course, fallout continues from the Trump administration's decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. That comes ahead of Vice President Mike Pence departing on his own Middle East trip on Thursday. What's the latest here?
Well, the Palestinian Central Council is meeting today in Ramallah to discuss the peace process with Israel and the future of its relations with the US. Now, yesterday, the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas described President Trump's actions as the, quote, slap of the century. That's after Mr. Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and then said the US would revoke aid to the Palestinians if they reject the peace talks and America's role in it, complaining that Palestinians were refusing to negotiate. Now, the same angry rhetoric continued at the council meeting today. Our correspondent in the West Bank is Yolande Nell.
The Palestinians have said the US can no longer be a peace broker, and Mr. Abbas again called for the United Nations and other countries to get more involved. The council can only make policy recommendations, with decisions ultimately taken by the top-ranking Palestinian body, the PLO Executive Committee.
Now, Mike Pence, as you say, departs for a Mideast trip on Thursday. His first stop is Cairo, then on to Jordan and Israel. The Egyptian government's stance was that President Trump should reverse his decision, and Egypt was also one of the 128 countries that condemned the US decision at a United Nations vote. That was despite threats from Washington that their aid would be cut. The Palestinians have made it clear that US officials are not welcome there, but in Israel, Mr. Pence is meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The Israelis say this is all about reaffirming their commitment to work with the United States. But there's no denying this is going to be a controversial visit, and with Palestinian authorities saying the US is no longer fit to mediate in the Middle East peace talks, it's hard to see how this trip can help regain that trust.
All right, as always, certainly plenty for us to keep our eyes on both sides of the pond on this one. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, thanks as always. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too, Mark.